I only want to take a few minutes before we have Brother Grant come up and bring forth the word. But I want to talk a little bit about CIP and what it is. We've seen some of the people, we've known about the graduates that have come through this program. And, you know, Brother Grant kind of brought it to my attention that maybe a lot of people don't quite understand exactly what CIP is. It's more than just the initials. It's more than CIP. It's more than that. This is a life-changing program. This program uses Bible principles to build upon. In the world that we live in, there is pessimism and there's negativism everywhere you go. And the only place that I have found where there is consistent and ongoing optimism, thank you, I had to think of myself, senior moment, the only place that I find true optimism optimism, thank you. Senior moments is when I'm in church or when I'm reading the Bible. The Bible gives me a roadmap to be successful. The Bible gives me a route and a direction where I will be lifted up, where I will be encouraged, where I am not left in a deficit position. If I may give a metaphor, you know, these regional jets, the small jets, there were a couple of people on there. One guy got on. This guy was a pessimist. And he had to fly from one city to another, and he sat down next to an optimist. And the plane hit an air pocket, and the plane dropped, and the pessimist started to freak. And he says, well, what? He says, look, don't worry about it. God's got it. The worst thing that can happen is we go to heaven. The pessimist didn't like that because it didn't speak to that negative spirit that he had. So he went and found another seat to sit in, and he sat next to another pessimist. And a pilot came on the air again after another drop, and he said, I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to have to return to the airport because we've lost an engine. So this one pessimist turns to the other and looks at him and says, what do you think? How far would that one engine carry us? And the other pessimist said, to the scene of the crash. So, think about it, okay? But, you know, those are ways of the world. The world will always find the negative way, will always try to find the softer and the easier way to get around situations. It will always tell you something that looks good on the surface, but when you bear it all the way out, when you study it out, when you spend time with it, when you explore it, you find out that there's really nothing there that's going to do you any beneficial good. The only thing that's going to help you, that's going to be of any benefit whatsoever, is in this church, following the words of Jesus Christ. Because the Bible says, what does it avail a man if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? So here's an opportunity tonight to gain your soul, to keep it for your lives, to change and to be forever changed. Brother Grant, would you come?
So a young man walked up to the minister and said, did Solomon really have 1,000 wives? The minister says, well, I'm not for sure, but when I get to heaven, I'll ask him. So the young man, feeling a little cocky, he said, what if he didn't go to heaven? The minister said, then you ask him. Oh, praise God. We do welcome all of you to this CIP graduation. I want to speak tonight on the subject entitled, I Won't Go Back. I Won't Go Back. I found out that if you make a declaration and you declare this first to all your friends, and then you declare it to the devil, and you declare it to the Lord, and then you declare it to yourself, you're surrounding yourself with enough support there to stick with your decision. You know, it isn't that difficult, really, to live for God. Some people have this idea that it's really, really hard to live for God. But the Bible says, Come unto me, all of you that labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest. He said, take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly. Ye shall find rest, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. When you team up with Jesus, it's not so difficult. And the Bible says the way of the transgressor is the hard way. So sometimes it just takes a common sense approach to life. And common sense is not so common anymore, you know. When I was a kid, my dad always said, horse sense. You ever heard that used? Horse sense. And you know what horse sense is, don't you? It's just good, stable thinking. Oh my. You won't forget that now, will you? Okay. Brother Hawk always does such a remarkable job up here speaking to our graduates. He comes up with so many unique ways of saying the same thing over and over and over. And that's what you have to do as a pastor. Someone said, what do you preach on Sunday morning? I said, basically I preach the gospel of salvation. They said, how do you do that? Well, I said, I have 1,001 ways to explain the gospel. And that's what you need to do. So I will be saying some things that you probably heard me say before. The problem, however, with some people is that when they find the answer, they continue to search. And they search in the wrong places. So this reminds me of the word that came from Moses. Moses, his tenure of 40 years as leader of Israel was just about to end. So he was going to be passing on from this earth. So he calls our attention to something that's real important in Deuteronomy, the 30th chapter. And I want to read verse 11 through verse 15. If you'd be so kind to just stand for the reading of the word. Now he's making an appeal to the Israelites. And this is what he says. For this commandment, which I command thee this day, is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. In other words, she's talking about a commandment of God. It's not hidden from you, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven that thou shouldest say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us that we may hear it and do it? Neither is it beyond the sea that thou shouldest say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it? Basically, what he's saying is that, you know, your tendency is going to be to try to find the answers in places where the answer is not. So you're going to, you know, Jesus even said concerning revival and concerning a great move of the Lord, some people are going to say, oh, let's go over here, you know, let's go to Milwaukee. They've got a big revival going in this church. Let's go over here. They've got a big, let's go down there, you know. So you go here, you go there, you go everywhere. And basically what the Lord is saying, if you want revival, it's not really that far from you. Now this is what he said, verse 14, but the word is very nigh unto thee in thy mouth and in thy heart that thou mayest do it. In other words, he's saying it's, you think it's in heaven and you think it's over here across the sea and you're going to be searching here and searching there. And really, the answer is real close to you. It's in your heart. It's in your mouth. See, I have set before thee this day life and good and death and evil. So the little boy was asked by his teacher when the teacher explained, who would you rather be, Lazarus or the rich man? She was talking about Lazarus that died and went to heaven and the rich man that died and lifted up his eyes in hell. So she asked this little boy, and he thought for a moment. He couldn't make up his mind. She said, now surely it's not that difficult. This is what he said. He said, well, you know, while I'm living, I'd rather be the rich man. But when I die, I think I'd rather be Lazarus. But that's not the way it works, is it? No, that's just not the way it works. So he has set before us life and good, death and evil. So death and evil, life and good. It's like Jesus, when Jesus told those disciples to cast their net on the right side of the boat, and they caught all these fish. They fished all night, and they caught nothing. Night and nothing seems to go together. But when morning came and they saw him, he says, cast your net on the right side. So they did, and they caught all these fish. Night and nothing, morning and much go together. Just like good and life and death and evil. God bless you. May be seated. So his instructions were very, very simple. They were expecting something great from him, I assume. Verse 19, he summarizes by saying, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and cursings. Therefore choose life that both thou and thy seed may live. So the choices that you make in life not only have a bearing on you, but also on the people around you, more specifically your children. How many times have we seen people just kind of drop out of church because they want to do their own thing? Have little children that grow up out in the world, then later on they come back and say, you just can't guess what my daughter and my son is mixed up in. And there they weep, and some of them come back to God, but the children stay out in the world. The Lord told Israel, the sin of their iniquity shall be transferred to the third and the fourth generation of them that don't know the Lord. So you pass this on to somebody else. So you think that you can be an island and live your own life and it not have its effect on others, but it does. It definitely does. So by the choices that you make, you determine what your future is. So I'm simply saying, make the right choice, stick with it, and don't go back. Now, so many of our CIP students have decided to follow Christ while they're in the program. But I'm sorry to say that they haven't all stuck with it. Some they get out and get away from the atmosphere of the church and they go back in the world. And it's very, very important, though, that you stay in church, because preachers like myself, like Brother Hawk, Pastor Roy, Pastor Thomas, all of our pastors are constantly challenging you. And the thing that you have to understand, that when you come to the Lord, you know, God gives you a mind change. And the reason why that this is so important is because, you see, you can never solve a problem with the same mind that created the problem. So you have to change your way of thinking. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And you've heard me say this before, but I feel that for the sake of our graduates, I need to go over this. Number one, if you can control your thinking, your mind, you can then control your attitude. And if you can control your attitude, you can then control your tongue or your words. If you can control your words, then you can control your deeds or your works. If you can control your works, you can then control your habits. And if you can control your habits, you can control your destiny. So it all starts out with the way you think. Now, the word of the Lord is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of sunder of soul and spirit, to the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. You know, God can read your thoughts. The intents talks about the motive. See, God not only can tell you how you think, but he can tell you why you think the way you think. That's pretty powerful, isn't it? Now, I have a few tips for our graduates. I'm not planning on spending a lot of time behind the pulpit tonight, but I feel that it's necessary to just give you some instructions in just practical things of life. The first thing that I want you to do is try to discover your purpose in life. Jeremiah 1, verse 5, the Bible tells us, now this is speaking of Jeremiah, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." Now, I could preach a whole message on this. In fact, I do have a message that I've taught in several camp meetings. Also, I taught it here at this church. And it has to do with your purpose in life. You see, the Bible tells us in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, the Greek word for word is logos. It's forever settled in heaven. Now, the Bible says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." So Jesus Christ was in the Logos. He was actually in heaven before he came to earth, but he was not in a human form. The plan was there. The blueprint was there. So he was in the script. He was there. But not only was he there, but you also were there. And when the Bible says the word of the Lord is forever settled in heaven, it's not just talking about the commandments, but it simply says that, it's saying that God has a plan for you. And the sooner that you can find out what that plan is and live according to it, you'll discover contentment and fulfillment like you've never had before. But if you decide that all of a sudden you don't want to do this, you want to go your own way, he's given you the power to do that. So find what your purpose is in life. In other words, discover it. And once you discover what your purpose is, the Bible tells us, if God be for us, who can be against us? All things work together for good to them, those who are called according to purpose. Now, the word his in the King James Version is in italics, which simply means it did not appear in the original text. And we're not trying to take away from the validity of God and from the master plan. But it says according to purpose. And that simply means the purpose for which you were born. See, he did not create you to be on drugs and alcohol and live in misery. He did not. He created you, and he has a master plan for your life. And it's not that difficult. All you need to do is get with God and stay with God. And perhaps some of the other tips I will give you will help you to do that. Number two, don't be held hostage by your past. And some people feel, well, I've just kind of blown 20 years of my life. And I hear people all the time when they make a mistake, say, but you don't know, Brother Grant, where I came from. And you don't know what kind of a childhood I had. Well, but you don't know what kind of a life I had and what kind of a childhood I had. But if you believe that your childhood was detrimental to your happiness now, then why are you hanging on to it? See, you're just hanging on to it. See, his blood erases your past. And once you become filled with the Holy Spirit, baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Spirit, you are a new person. So don't let your memories of the past destroy your dreams. And that's so easy for us to do. Number three, don't carry grudges. There are certain things that you just have to let God judge. You know, if you go around carrying grudges, trust me, you'll be imprisoned by your own imagination. You know, you think this and you think that. I talked about as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You know, 90% of everything that takes place in your mind is nothing but imagination. Things that you perceive, things that you believe, things that you accept. After a while, you can accept. Now, you get in this vein of thinking, this pessimistic vein of thinking. I correct people all the time that say, well, knowing me, this is going to... Someone told me that not too long ago. They said, well, knowing me, this is... I said, oh, let's cry together. Poor little you. You know, it's just... grown man. I said, let's sit down and cry together. Poor little you. Don't you know that? Well, the devil likes that. He likes that. Man, if I were the devil, I'd pick on poor little old you. No. Don't be carrying grudges. Don't feel that everything bad's going to happen to you and everything. Just don't do that. Don't be judging all the situations around you. My, I see things all the time that I disagree with. And I suppose I could live in misery if I just started thinking about all these things. You know, what do I see that I disagree with? Sometimes you just have to back your ears and smile and make out like you have good sense and walk right on through life. I know one time someone was telling me about, oh, this has got to be done this way and it's got to be done that way, a perfectionist in our church. I said, I want you to follow me outside. We went outside and I overlooked the city down there, the Capitol building and all this. I said, you see all of those buildings down there? You see all those beautiful homes when you travel around? These were built by people other than you. You are not the only person in life that knows how to do it well. and you have to turn loose of things that you have no control over. And carrying a grudge, you know, sometimes you're carrying a grudge, and the person that you're feeling bad at, they're just whistling Dixie and smiling, having a good time. Really. And you're just all tied up in a knot. I don't see how they could be this way after they... Oh, stinking thinking. Now, number four, understand the value of daily devotion. And, you know, I almost didn't use the word devotion because sometimes we think of daily devotion, we think of a book that has two or three paragraphs for every day, and we just read that and close it and go on. But I'm talking about prayer, praise, and meditation. Now, most of us, we know how to pray. Most of us, we know how to praise the Lord or worship. Most people, they shortchange themselves because they don't know how to meditate. You know, I can prove by the scripture that if you know how to meditate, you can become wiser than your teachers. Can you believe that? How would you like to be smarter than Pastor Grant? You probably are anyway, so... Learn how to meditate. See, prayer is a two-way conversation. You speaking to God and God speaking to you. And sometimes we just blah, 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 and shut up and walk away when we need to shut up and be still and know that He's God. Because it's during this prayer time, sitting in heavenly places, we sung about it. Well, I thought the worship was just superb. Thank you, praise singers, for all that. Because you know. I said before, you can't solve a problem with the same mind that created it. So you have to sit in heavenly places. The Bible says for the changing, renewing of the mind. You got to be able to, you know, you can just fall right back in that trap of thinking the way you did 20 years ago. You know, the Bible just constantly reminds us. Brother Forkpaul preached that marvelous message this morning. And he was reminding us, don't be going back there. Stay away from that. It's a time when you got to turn your back on that. Say, oh, no. Don't be held hostage by your past. You know, march on out. Wow. You'd be surprised what you could accomplish for God. And for humanity, as a matter of fact, if you wouldn't put so many limitations on yourself. Now, I haven't tried this because I haven't been around fleas that much, but they say that you put fleas in a jar and put a top on it, and they jump and jump and jump, and they hit the top, and after a while they're jumping, but they don't hit the top. You take the top off, and they'll all die in there because they don't jump out. And sometimes we just kind of put a lid on everything. And we say, no, I just can't go beyond that. And I've tried it before and it didn't work. I know somebody else has tried. No. Use your imagination. Dream a while. I tell people, live out your dreams. If God puts something new in my heart to do, you know what I start doing? I start living it a long time before it becomes real. I can see it in my mind before I actually do it. I tell pastors, if you want to pastor 500 people instead of 5 people, you know what you need to do? You need to start dreaming, acting like you're pastoring 500 people. Now, please understand, that doesn't mean that you take the high road where you sit on the throne, you know, and we're not talking about that. But go among your people and shake hands, and, you know, even politicians see the value of that. Just build up people. Now, the fifth thing, this is very, very important. I want you to really hear this one. Seek out a strong support group. One, a group that holds you up to the same values that you have been taught. Holds you responsible for them. You know, you can get support groups, but they support you in the wrong way. Make yourself accountable to someone. Perhaps someone in the group or to the group itself. See, the thing about it is, you may not have it all together, but all together, you have it all. And that's why it's so important to have this support group. You may be lacking. Maybe several members of the support group may be lacking. So you may not have it all together, but together, you have it all. Number six, become a giver. I think this is so important. Given it shall be given unto you. You know, another thing, you'll never know when you conquer greed except when you exercise the ability to open your hands and let things go. You know you've conquered greed. Greedy people don't fare very well in the earth. Why? Because the blessings of God are not upon them. Don't be a taker, be a giver. You see, you make a living by what you get, but you make a life by what you give. And that is so, so necessary. Number seven, use the power of choice always to your advantage. You know, think about it. If you want to go to heaven, you have to make a definite choice to go. Nobody can make that for you. But the amazing thing is that if you don't want to go to heaven, there are people that will make a choice for you to go to hell, and they can do that. But not to go to heaven. You got to stand on your own two feet. You got to make your own decision. I want to go to heaven. And when you do, let me tell you something. Nothing can stop you. For if God be for you, everybody else might as well be. Because there's no stopping when you're holding hands with God. So be a giver. And at the same time, make the right choice to your advantage. And here's something I think I need to put in there when we talk about choice. Don't be blaming other people for your failures. You know, you go out on the playground and somebody didn't do this and somebody, they said, oh, but she held me. It's her fault. It's his fault. And we grow into adulthood, and we may not go around saying it all the time, but, well, I could have done great. I tried to start this church, but, you know, God sent me to this city that's, only God knows when he sent me there that this was the hardest place on the planet Earth to build a church, you know. God sent me to the mission field, and God knows that, you know, I'd have a problem with the language, and it's always somebody else's fault. Always. Don't be blaming other people for your failures. There are times when you just have to look at the situation and say, look, things didn't turn out, but I am determined. I am determined that I'm not going to blame other people. I may have to go look in the mirror and say, look, something happened. But even if you blame yourself, don't beat yourself over the head. You're going to make mistakes. We all make mistakes. Don't blame somebody else when you make it. But at the same time, don't beat yourself over the head. so that you lose the victory. Apologize to whoever you need to apologize. Make it right. Repent, whatever you need to do. And then get up and just march on. Unashamedly, just march on. Just be what you know God wants you to be. And number eight, this is my last point. Determine always to do the best that you possibly can. That's a habit that you need to get into. Don't be sloppy about things. Don't start projects and stop them. Finish them to completion. Somebody asked me, he said, now, I know that Jesus Christ gives you peace, but is there any practical advice that you could give me on how I can be content? You know what I think? Now, this is going to shock you. I think contentment, for the most part, comes by the completion of a task. You finish, you feel good inside about it. I know when I have things that are unfinished, you know, people come over the house, oh, you get everything finished. I'm thinking, no, I don't either. No. Follow what I'm saying? And after a while, you got things all over unfinished. Make a habit of finishing everything you start and do it to the best of your ability. Oh, how important this is. Praise God. I'd like for you to stand with me at this time. So let's just summarize this. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Control your mind, and you can control your attitude. Control your attitude, and you can control your words. Control your words, you can control your works or your deeds. Control your deeds, you can control your habits. And if you can control your habits, you can control your destiny. How important this is. Choose good. Choose life. Because if you choose bad, you're going to choose death. And be determined. I won't go back. I won't go back. Let's all say it together. I won't go back. I won't go back. I heard a song years ago, and it was just kind of a funny song, but it had a good meaning. The title of it was, I Came Here to Stay. Run if you want to, run if you will. But I came here to stay. I'll tell you what, the only way that I would ever leave the church is if the church ran me off. It's like Sister Grant. You know, we'd be married 53 years this coming November 6th. And when we said for better or worse, that's what we meant. I've told her many times, hon, if you ever leave me, remember, I'm going with you.
You may be seated. Thank you for that word of encouragement, Pastor. It is my honor now to present to you the graduates for the fall session of the CIP program. I would like to point out, though, that in calling these names, there's a lot more to them than that. Over the past 20-plus weeks, there have been some major life changes in some of these people's lives. And I have not taken the opportunity to share that with you, and I won't do that tonight for the sake of time. But understand that this is not just someone going through 20 weeks. There has been a major change in their life. And because of such, we have the graduation. And I would like to also extend to each and every one of you at the end of this service, there will be a cake reception in the sanctuary. And please come and join and congratulate the graduates. As the graduates come, if you would line up here in front on my left, your right, and remain there until there would be a picture taken of you for posterity. Corey Vike. Christine Subi. Angel Gonzalez. And Brittany Powell. Now we would like to take this opportunity for the graduates to address the church.
I'd just like to say that having gone through this program, it's really a great program, and I'm 40 years old, and I'm an alcoholic, and having gone through this, I am better equipped to deal with my dependency than I've ever been in my life.
Hallelujah.
Hello, my name is Christine. I was considered as an alcoholic and being in Dane County Jail and got in trouble and served my time and came to CIP and opened up and found a miracle, and now I'm blessed and I thank you.
Take your time. Take your time. Hallelujah.
I'm really nervous, but coming to this program has changed my life tremendously. I don't know what I would do without this program and all the people that support me here, and I don't know. I don't really know what to say. Yeah, it was a great program.
She told me she wasn't going to talk. She was just going to stand up here and cry, and now I'm crying. I just want to thank Pastor Grant and the Hawks. They're like family to me, and I know that this is a program that God placed here for us, for people like this. They told me I had to say something. So I was in pre-service prayer, and I was like, Lord, what am I going to say? I don't know what to say. And the reason that I want to be involved in this is Jeremiah 29:11. The people of Jerusalem, there was some of their people were in captivity, and they had been there forever. And God spoke to Jeremiah, and he told him to go tell the people this. He said, for I know the thoughts that I have for you, that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of drugs and alcohol and, you know, torn apart families. It's thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you an expected end, an end where we're all together in heaven, and when you're with people who love you and you're doing what you're called to do. And I'm blessed to be a part of this, and I cannot wait to continue to move forward in this ministry. And I just ask you to continue to keep CIP in your prayers, and the Hawks, and all of these wonderful people involved. So, praise the Lord.
Can you imagine a Powell with nothing to say? Brother Grant, would you come and bless the graduates?
Well, thank you, God. Would you please stand with me? You know, I hope that you feel the extreme importance of this like I do. Every time we have a graduation, it touches my heart deeply to find and know that men and women, they get involved in a program like this. It's life-changing. And they're wanting to set things right in their life so that the remaining part of their life is not like the past. This is so, so very important. So I want to pray for these graduates at this time, and you join in with me. God, I pray, God, concerning our graduates, I'm asking, God, that you touch these. God, touch these three ladies and this gentleman, three sisters and one brother. And God, these are part of us now, God. Oh, God, they have been baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. I pray, God, you keep your hand upon them and bless them. They're graduating from here, but certainly not from the body of Christ. We're wishing them well, but we're not saying goodbye to them. And I pray, God, keep them in your protective care and custody. When temptation comes, I pray, God, that you'd send an angel from heaven to stand by their side. Help them, God, to always make the right decision, and that is to not go back. We love you, God, for these people. We thank you, God, for the decision they've made to straighten their life up. Keep your hand upon them. Bless these graduates. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, they can go back and be seated. Now we do have a cake reception for them. I'd like for you to continue to stand if you would. And we're going to give all of you the opportunity to come and seek the Lord. If you came here tonight and you're sick in body, we have ministers that will come and pray for you, anoint you with oil. Just come over here and stand. Come over here and stand on your left, my right, if you need prayer. If you have been struggling with some problems, maybe you don't have the answer and you're looking for it, why don't you just come and stand right here in front of the pulpit? We have people that will come and minister to you and assist you and pray with you. If you need the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you've never received the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking with tongues, now is the night to do it. Now is the night to do it. Don't hesitate. Don't wait. Or if you need a refilling, why don't you come? Just come over here and stand on your right and my left. We want our praise singers to begin to sing and come on down. Come on down right now. Whatever your need is, God is able to supply that need.